Now our Bible study today is still in the 9th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. We have already had 2 lessons from this chapter, but today I want to survey the remaining portion of this interesting chapter, Matthew chapter 9. Now, if you care to take your Bible and study through, you will find this. Beginning then at verse 18, you have the record of a diseased woman who is healed. And that moves on to the dead girl who is raised to life. These 2 miracles seem to be interlaced one with the other, and perhaps we'll be able to explain why. Then, when you get to verse 27, you're introduced to another miracle where 2 blind men receive their sight. Then last of all, verses 32 and 33, you have the miracle of a dumb, demon-possessed man who is delivered by the power of the Lord. Then over and above the miracles that he performed, verses 35 through 38 introduce us to the mercy that he expressed. Then last of all, before finishing this chapter, I want to draw attention to the murmuring of those who formed the opposition to the Lord. Now look a little then at these miracles. At verse 18, we are introduced to the ruler. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler, and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Now in these 2 verses then, there is the coming of this ruler who comes to the Lord on behalf of his little daughter. It's nice to notice the circumstances that brought this man to the Lord. He came in a time of trouble. It's a strange thing, my friends, but it's true that some people never come to the Lord until they are in trouble. Now, I'm not concerned at the moment with what your trouble is. If it's any trouble at all that brings you to the Lord, we could say this, it's a blessing in disguise. Anything that causes us to come to Christ for help must be a blessing in disguise. We notice then the circumstances that brought him to the Lord Jesus. 'Twas a time of trouble. We also notice that this man had a heart that was concerned. Concerned for his daughter. He was facing a tragedy. And because he was concerned for his daughter, he came to the Lord for help. I wonder how many parents listening to my voice at this moment have found time to bend the knee and to lay before the Lord the needs of their families. Many of us can thank God for praying parents. We can thank God for mothers that prayed for us. My friend, if you didn't have a mother that prayed for you, you have my sympathy. But I can assure you of this, I was raised in an atmosphere where I had both a father and a mother who prayed for us in time of trouble, prayed for us day by day. And so I'm thankful today for parents that were concerned. Here was a man who had a heart of concern for his daughter. He was facing a tragedy. And then we notice the call. He came to the Lord asking for the Master's touch. Just come, he said, and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Oh, what confidence this man had in the power of the Lord Jesus. If other people were turning away from the Lord, and some were despising him, criticizing him, nevertheless, here was one man who was prepared to stand up and be counted, a man who believed that the Lord could help him, and so he came for help. Now, before that the Lord reached this man's house, then there is introduced this little portion that speaks of a woman, this diseased woman who is healed. I want you to notice that she came into the crowd while they were moving on towards the home of the ruler. You know, it's a strange thing that this little girl, whose father came and asked for help, she was 12 years of age. Now here was a woman who had been suffering with a disease for all those 12 years that this little girl had lived. You know, sometimes tragedy strikes suddenly. With other people, it's a long, drawn-out process. I want you to notice the severity of the fact. Here was a woman who was suffering for 12 years. I wonder if some of my listeners today have been suffering physically, perhaps for a long time. Some folks suffer so far as their mind is concerned. They have mental reservations about certain matters. They're perplexed, they're upset, they're worried, a lot of anxieties. I'm not concerned at the moment what your particular trouble may be, my friend. Here was a woman who was suffering very severely, and she suffered for 12 years. Now remember, if you were to read the accounts concerning this woman as given in other portions of the Word of God, you would discover that she knew that she was suffering, and she did everything she could to alleviate her suffering. She went to all the different doctors, she tried them all, but was nothing bettered. And in trying them all, remember this, she spent her all. All that she possessed, she spent on trying to alleviate her suffering and her trouble. But now, in her extremity, she also turns to the Lord. Now remember, he was on his way to bring blessing to someone else. When this woman broke in, got near to the Savior, and she's saying, "If only I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole." May I suggest that while there was the severity of the facts concerning her trouble, we're introduced here to the simplicity of her faith. See how simple this woman was. She says, "Here's a man that can heal. If only I could get near enough to him just to touch him." You see, the man who came to him concerning his daughter said, "You come to her and just lay your hand upon her and she shall live." Here's a woman that takes the other attitude and says, "If only I could get to him and get my hand on him, if I may touch but the hem of his garment, I shall be whole." How simple that is. Let me say this to all my listeners today. Some people get all bogged down because they do not understand certain theological teachings, certain things they want to ask about. Some folks want to ask about the sin that cannot be forgiven, the unpardonable sin. And some want to know if they've committed this, and what is it? And so they come with all their problems about theology. Oh, my friend, listen. When you go first to the school and you go into first grade, you don't start learning the complicated things. You start with the simple things. Why, you learn that one and one makes two. You learn your simple letters of the alphabet, what was called your ABC. You've got to learn to read, and to write. You learn the simple things before you go on to the difficult things. See, this woman, she had suffered for 12 years, but notice how simple she is in her faith. If I can just get to him and just touch the hem of his garment. Don't you see, she had confidence in the Lord? She knew that the Lord could heal her. I wonder, am I speaking to someone today? And instead of being confused, my friend, with theological problems, why don't you come in simplicity to the Lord? Come and trust him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's simple, isn't it? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. See how simple these things are. It may be, my friend, that all you know is just to stretch out and touch the hem of his garment in simplicity. That's all she did. But Jesus turned him about. When he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. See the sureness of her freedom. The Lord spoke words of comfort to her. He spoke to her as one who was related to him. He said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Don't be afraid. Don't tremble anymore. Don't you realize you've been made whole? Thy faith has made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now remember, in these two chapters, chapter 8 and chapter 9, Matthew is bringing before us the records of these miracles performed by the Lord to prove again that the kingdom was with them in power, and the king was there demonstrating his power by these miracles. So therefore we have the miracle here of a woman who had suffered for 12 years, and she was healed by her contact with the Savior. Now, after he had healed this woman, then he proceeded on his way to deal with the young girl. When you come to verse 23, when Jesus came into the ruler's house, he saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. You know, I wonder what he would say today. I'm afraid, my friend, that instead of proper music today, we're having a lot of people who are making a noise. Notice what the Lord did with them. He said unto them, "Give place. Give place." He put them all out. When the people were put forth, he went in. But first of all, those professional mourners who were there, and those people were their instruments, the minstrels they're called, simply making a noise and accomplishing nothing. The Lord put them out, and very quietly he went in. If again you were to take the records from the other Gospels and put them together, you'll discover this, that he took with him into that room the father and mother of the little girl, and he took his three favorite apostles, Peter, James, and John, and in he went into that room. And there he was with the little girl, for whom, as it were, there seemed to be no help from the human point of view. Man had done his best, but it was useless. And the Lord went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. The Lord Jesus Christ had the ability to meet the need of a woman who had suffered for many years. He was also able to meet the need of a young girl. And my friend, I care not how old you are or how young you are. I'll say this, you need the Savior. And the Savior is willing to help you no matter what your need is today. Remember, first and foremost, you need the Savior. Now that leads us now to consider men. Here's a woman and a young girl. Then he introduces the thought of men. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. Now here we've come to the case of a blind man, or two blind men. Not only can the Lord then show his power in delivering or healing a woman who was diseased, not only could he raise the young girl and give her newness of life, but he's able to give sight to two blind men. They said he was able. They believed he was able to do it. You see, here was a testimony proclaimed in verse 26. The testimony spread his fame abroad into all the land, and no doubt these blind men heard of it. And so in verse 27, there was a certain truth that was perceived. There was the apprehension of this truth and the application of this truth. They followed him. They believed it. And they cried, saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. Then the test was presented. The Lord said to them, Do you believe that I am able to do this? He tested the faith. And then there was the acknowledgement of it. They said, Yea, we believe. They said unto him, Yea, Lord. And so therefore there was the acknowledgement. Then there was the touch with its power. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. So two blind men receive their sight. And then he shows us something else. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a demon. And when the demon was cast out, the dumb man spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. And that's true. These things had never been seen before. You see, the king was present with them, demonstrating, manifesting the power of the kingdom. And so therefore, here was something now that they had never witnessed before, and they admitted this. They said it was never seen like this before in Israel. And so therefore, we have a man now, a dumb, demon-possessed man delivered. A girl raised from the dead, she was given newness of life. A woman healed of her disease under which she had suffered for 12 years. Two blind men, men groping around in the darkness, were given their sight, and they saw the light. A dumb, demon-possessed man delivered from the power of the enemy. Surely that should have been evidence to prove to them that here was the king, the promised Messiah, the son of David, and surely the power of the kingdom was evident. But now, that leads us to think of the murmuring of the opposition. There was people who opposed him. Verse 34, But the Pharisees said, He casteth out demons through the prince of demons. I want you to notice this. How these men who opposed Christ murmured against him. You'll notice in this chapter they murmured when he spoke of forgiving sins. They said, that man's blaspheming. And so they murmured against him for speaking the word of forgiveness. They murmured because he ate with publicans and sinners. It seemed that this was beneath their dignity and was against all their traditions. And because the Lord did things that they wouldn't do, he broke all their traditions, and they murmured against him, and opposed him and condemned him. Now here they murmured when he cast out demons. They said he did this through the prince of demons. You'll notice then that these people had made up their mind that they were opposed to him, that no matter what he did, they would criticize him, they would condemn him. Yet he was their Messiah. He was the son of David. He was the promised king, present with them and demonstrating the power of his kingdom. Yet they continued to reject him. Now the closing verses of this chapter set before us what I like to term the mercy that he expressed. Verse 35 says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. He kept moving amongst them, bringing blessing to them, going about continually doing good." But verse 36 tells us what he saw. "When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion." Why had he such compassion on them? Because it says they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You know, a strange thing is this. A sheep is one of the most helpless animals you can ever find. A sheep needs to be cared for from the day it's born, from the time it's a little lamb. A shepherd needs to care for his sheep day by day. No matter how long he has his flock of sheep, they require a shepherd. Take away the shepherd from the sheep and they'll just get scattered abroad, wandering from one place to another with no one to care for them. And when the Lord looked on the multitude, his heart was moved with compassion, for he saw multitudes of people like sheep without a shepherd. How helpless, how weak. And yet, verse 37 says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." In verse 36, there is mention made of what he saw, multitudes of people like sheep without a shepherd. Verse 37, what he said. He said, "The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few." He seems to change, as it were, the figure from verse 36 to verse 37. He's looking now out on the fields, and he sees the harvest is there, ready to be brought in. Someone has plowed and sowed, and God has given the increase. There's the harvest. But there's no one to go out and labor in the fields. There was a need for laborers. He says, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Now, if you connect those two verses together, here's the thought. People are scattered around, but there's a harvest time. They need to be gathered in. They need to be gathered together as you would gather grain at harvest time. But he said, while there's a plenteous harvest, the laborers are few. Well, what can be done about it? Well, in the following verse, we have what he suggested. "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Notice here, "pray ye." That's what you have to do. "And pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest." Notice who you direct your prayer to. And notice what is entailed in the prayer, asking the Lord to send forth laborers into his harvest. So therefore he suggests to us the answer to the problem. There's a need for laborers to go out into the harvest field to gather in the harvest for the Lord. You'll find when you come to the next chapter, that is exactly what he does. He chooses his laborers and he sends them out and tells them exactly the nature of the work they've to perform.